Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm going to start this show by Matt, buddy, pal. I'm just going to say you got trolled all week. You really think I thought Prey was better than Predator?
No.
Come on, man. I trolled you, hook, line, and sinker, on the show last week, and you bought it because you it triggered you. Let's just say it triggered you.
You seem like you're pretty committed. I think you're just walking.
Let's just admit defeat, Matt. Admit defeat. Okay. No, and I did it on purpose from the beginning. Long was slightly in on it a little bit. He was aware that I was trolling you. So that's the most I'll say that he was in on it, but because he hasn't seen the movie yet. But yeah, so I got you, man. I had some fun with you.
This is what happened. You cheated. You know, you're like, you went for the hot young thing. You know, you've been married to the original Predator for 40 years.
Defeat, Long. I mean, Matt.
And then just this hot young thing comes walking by, and you cheated for a little bit. You felt bad. Now you're walking it back. You know,
no, because
I accept it. Whatever it is, I accept it.
Here's the thing. I do stand on the grounds that I think it's pretty close to an equal to the original, I think, because I started thinking about, like, some of the concepts in it I really thought were pretty cool, the way they pulled it off. You know, actually, when I was watching it, my thought was, as much as I really enjoyed the lead actress, I really was kind of hoping that we were going to get a twist and the Predator was going to win. And then they pick him up in a spaceship and then they fly away. I really was thinking the movie was going to end like that. Like, that was going to be the twist. And I thought that would have been really refreshing to have it in that way. He wins, he flies off till we see him again on Earth, you know. But that's not how it ended. So, but yeah. So I had some fun.
Use the flower, you know, it turns her
something.
Okay. Well, but I don't want to say too much. Long hasn't seen it.
But yeah. So I had some fun trolling Matt because I thought of that at the last minute last week. I'm like, I'm going to fuck him, Matt, because I know he's going to get all pissed off. And you were about ready to fly out of that computer screen, man. Long can attest to that. You were
I tried jumping in there.
You're going to jump my boy Arnold, man, whose dick I would suck for $100? I'm like, come on, man.
Yeah, oh, my God.
I would
fondle
his ball sack if he gave me a chance. I mean, yeah.
Oh, my God. This is a family event, sir. This Talk is a Wendy's. This
we only have to be totally family friendly around comic books.
Oh man!
But this is the Rebel Radio Podcast, and this is Mark.
This is Matt.
This is Long,
and good bit of fun there with Matt. How long? You know.
Yeah,
like I said, Long was totally into it, but he was partially into it.
All I said last week was, "Oh, Matt's triggered."
I know, and when I got off the show that night, I was just laughing to myself. I was like, and when I was editing the show on Sunday, I'm just laughing still. Like, damn, I really fucking triggered Matt. He's about ready to fly. Like, oh man, you know.
I was thinking about it days after. I was still thinking about it. I'm like that.
I know you were. When you texted about it, I was still laughing. I was like, "That's a motherfucker." Oh, that was funny. But yeah. So it's been a week, man. I've been on vacation. I've gotten a lot accomplished at the house, which is good. Got a lot of stuff cleaned up, and so I feel good about going back to work Monday, knowing I got things done this week. Don't feel good about going back to work, but you know, at least I can go back in peacefully, saying, "Hey, I got shit done at the house." Yep. So that's good. And, man, we've had rain, which is amazing. It's supposed to rain like the next 10 days after like 4 months of no fucking rain in Houston, it feels like. And
for real.
Yeah. You know,
that's going to help.
All I know is, man, it's opening up my allergies. I'm freaking sneezing. All the shit's dropping to the ground. I'm like, my allergies don't like this. And,
yep. Okay. It means I have to mow the lawn more often.
I know. I was standing out on the patio earlier, and I'm like, "Look at that, Michael!" You know, my 13-year-old, and it's like, "You're going to be mowing soon." He's like, "Oh man, he's kind of had an easy summer." No, I mean, yeah, I think he's only had to mow a couple of times since June because it just hasn't grown at all. You know, and I guess that long offer still stands. I have a 13-year-old; you can borrow, he can come mow for you. So, yeah.
There you go. Yeah. Child labor.
Payment cookies if you want. Yeah. I don't care. So, how are you guys?
Not bad. Tired, but not bad.
Same.
Not bad. Well, that's fair. I mean,
yeah, not bad.
Not all of us can be on vacation at the same time. So, you know.
It's true.
But
there
hey,
can I, be only one.
After this one, though, I got like 10 weeks till the next one, October. So, feel, I mean, 10 weeks, I guess, isn't much, but it feels like a long way away. When I look at the calendar, I'm like, God, it's a long way away. It's like, you know, but it'll be busy. School will start. Baseball will start, fall baseball, so I'll stay busy. It'll go by pretty quick, so it'll be good, and it'll be nice. And hopefully some better weather here soon from all this heat. That was one thing about the rain. It's kept it kind of cool today. Like, you know, so I'll take it. I'll take it for sure.
The AC is definitely running easier.
Yeah, yeah. It's, I should, it's actually a little chilly in my living room from the cool weather, so. I'll take it after ball sweating weather the last several weeks, months we've had. So.
Ball sweat.
And, but yeah.
Swamp.
I did have some fun this week. I did go to NASA this week. That was cool. I was a little disappointed though in like the main lobby of Space Center. They've taken out several of the interactive displays, and I understand it's because of COVID and all that, but it's like it made it feel like a little less to see, because I'm like, it's pretty empty in that main lobby because of some of the things they took out. But the kids still had a good time. There's still a lot to see there regardless. I think you still get your money's worth with NASA because tickets there run between $25 and $30. So compared to a lot of amusement parks, theme park type thing, it's still a good deal. I think you still get to see your money's worth. You know? So it's pretty cool. And if you live in the Houston area, you've never been to NASA, it is definitely worth a visit at least once. It's pretty cool to see where they do all this space stuff. I like space stuff. It's cool. Have y'all ever been to NASA? You guys?
Yeah.
Like once.
Yeah. Yeah. I forgot. I
need to go back there again. It's been 20 years at least.
Yeah. See, I had been back like out of high school, and then I hadn't gone until I went about 3 years ago. That was the first time I'd been in like since high school. And now I've gone twice in the last 3 years, and the boys like it a lot. Like Wyatt absolutely loves it. He likes NASA a lot. So he just smiles from ear to ear seeing all the space.
I remember the last time I went, the Saturn V rocket was outside. Is it still outside, or they built
it? It's outside, but it's in a building around it now. Yeah, yeah. You get to go see it on part of the tram tours. So yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It's they built a building around it now and turned into its own museum. So that's really cool. That's probably one of my favorite parts and favorite things to see. I think it's really neat. So it's pretty cool.
Nice.
And We did the astronaut training facility tour, which was cool. I just wish, like, back in the day, the tours used to be longer. Like, they used to take you in the big room where the pool was with the astronauts training, like where, you know, Armageddon was shot and things like that. But now they keep the tours a lot more simple. But they were doing that even just a few years ago, that even before COVID, they had simplified the tours. But I think it's just because of so many people going through there, they have to, you know, minimize what they can do. They don't that was my thought. Like the Space Center stuff's cool, but like if I'm NASA, I would emphasize like other aspects of what they do there, like the movie making, turn that into part of a tour. Say like this is a area where we shot Space Cowboys or we shot this. I don't know. I was looking at those opportunities they could expand on their tours that they do there. I mean, the training stuff is cool and stuff, but use other aspects of what NASA does. You know, I don't know. That's just me. I thought there was other ideas they could do. They have like hundreds of buildings out there, and then they only really let you tour two or three of them. It's like, oh, come on, show us more. You know, there ain't really nothing that super top secret there that they're going to show tourists. You know, all the top secret stuff's already deep down in underground Area 51 type labs. We already know that. So, it's all good. But anyway, enough about me. Let's get into today's show. Download this where we tell people we watched, streamed, checked out this week. Long, I'm going to let you go first because you're usually pretty short and sweet as you just don't watch anything nowadays. You become an old fuddy-duddy. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh.
I'm just messing along a little bit.
I watched She-Hulk.
Did you? I started it and watched like the first 5 minutes, and I got a phone call, and I didn't. Just never made it back to it.
Wow.
I liked it a lot. Actually, there were some moments that actually had me laughing out loud. And, yeah, for Marvel's first sitcom show, I like it a lot. If you're a fan of the Hulk, you'll like him too. And,
does yeah, it I can't play wait like to a see sitcom? The
next episode. No, it's more like a...
You're the first person I've heard call it a sitcom.
Well, yeah, or it is.
It breaks the fourth wall. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that they've been saying in the press release that they were going for kind of a sitcom, you know, kind of a dramedy for it. You know, it's more mostly a... More... they're going to go for kind of a legal show, you know, a fun little legal show. Courtroom show, kind of like Ally McBeal in a way. And yeah, I can see the first episode just mainly focuses on her origins, but yeah, I'm looking forward to more, see what they do in the courtroom stuff. So yeah, I'm done.
That's it. All right, Ken, that's it. I also watched She-Hulk. I thought it was good. I enjoyed it more than I thought I would. I do feel like, you know, she obviously picks up on the powers and the techniques really, really quick, like immediately. So I'm like, okay, you know, she's smart, obviously, but it's like you had a doctor, you know, that was like it took him like 10 years to figure this stuff out. Obviously, it wasn't going to shouldn't have take 10 years for her. But I was like the second try, I thought there'd be like a little bit more of a training montage. But I guess you kind of have to just speed up the first episode and get through the rest of it. So for the sake of getting other elements of the story, I get it. But that's probably my only, you know, irk, you know, of the
show. Well, here's the thing. Think about it. Mark, cover your ears.
Oh, I don't care.
If you don't care about spoilers. But so most scientists are not exactly the most emotionally intelligent people out there, you know. But for She-Hulk, I could see that she's, you know, she's kind of explained that she kind of has to overcompensate and stuff like that, control her anger in regular situations and stuff, you know. So I could kind of see where they're going at with that. So she might have more of the emotional intelligence to control, you know, the Hulk side of it a little bit easier compared to Bruce Banner, who's basically a nerd all his life, you know.
Yeah.
So he spends most of his life being really, really smart at what he's doing, but as far as his social, emotional aspect of his life, you know, I mean,
that's a fair point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
when you put it that way.
Yeah.
And the control is tied to your emotions, fear or anger.
Yeah. And, you know, and given Bruce Banner's, because if there's this common trait among like genius folk that they have a deficiency in some area psychologically, you know, so to make up for their intellectual talent, like smartest man, like Isaac Newton fucking invented calculus, died a virgin, you know, so case in point.
But yeah, no, that's a really good point. I can't wait to see what else we get. Just because of, you know, apparently we're supposed to get Jessica Jones or is that in Daredevil? I think in Daredevil we're supposed to get that, but
yeah,
we'll see. They're definitely bringing a lot of the cool stuff back and,
you know,
we'll see how it
gets implemented. You remember Jessica Jones' blonde friend, Patty?
Yeah.
Man, in the She-Hulk miniseries, 2015, Patty is like her friend, really close friend of She-Hulk. She's Hellcat, right?
Yeah.
And she's like, a really, really quirky character in the miniseries because she's like, she comes like freaking She-Hulk. She's at home trying to do her legal briefs, and then freaking Hellcat walks in. She's all bruised up and her costume's all torn up, and She-Hulk's like, "What have you been doing all night?" I was like, "Oh, I've been beating up bad guys. What are you doing?" sort of thing. Yeah. It's like a really, really funny, quirky character. And I was kind of hoping that the Hellcat character came into fruition.
Well, you know, Jessica Jones, you know, she does work with lawyers. Maybe we'll get the, Trinity in this series, like whenever she was in Jessica Jones.
I'm looking more forward to Matt Murdock, see what's going on there.
Yep. Other than that, I did rent X, which is a horror movie that I've been wanting to see. It's basically 70s. I think it's the same. The same writer as Hereditary, or the same studio as Hereditary. I think. I could be wrong, but it's solid. It's creepy. It's one of those good old fashioned, the innocents get killed for a really weird reason. Kind of like Jamie Kennedy's character says in Scream, whenever he's coming up with reasons of why someone would kill, he's like, "It's the millennium." You know, it's just, that's just kind of how old school, horror, also according to John Carpenter, is best, whenever it's just, you just have fun with it. You don't think too hard about it. So it's fun. It's not great, but it's a fun little flick for $2.99 to rent if you want to rent it and watch it. It's got the girl that played, she played in the last Scream movie. She's probably the most notable character in there. And then I watched another horror movie, Ethan Hawke's Black Phone. Really cool. That? Oh, I loved it. It's great. So the premise of it is this person, Ethan Hawke's character, is kidnapping these kids and killing them in his basement. And the boy hears, like, they talk to him through this disconnected phone on the wall, trying to give him advice on how they tried to get out and how he can get out and what he can do to fight back and get out of there. So it's like they're talking to him from beyond the grave. I believe it was either directed and or written by Stephen King's son. So he's doing some good work. He's definitely keeping that. Correct me if I'm wrong. Go ahead and look that up, because I think I'm right. I could be wrong, but if he is, I mean, he's doing the if that's right, he's doing the King name pretty good, I think. Had the wife watch it too. Really cool. Also, what else?
It's directed from Scott Derrickson, who directed Doctor Strange.
Okay, but who wrote it? Let's
see. No, Joe Hill, whoever that is. Joe, he's the son of Stephen King.
Yep, there we go. His son
was a co-writer on it.
Co-writer.
Well, he didn't even help with the script. It's based on his short story.
There we go. Awesome. Now, but other than that, I watched a little bit of Friday the 13th Part 4. I watched half of it and like fell asleep. So I don't even know if I can consider that a download this, but I tried to watch some horror movies this week.
Oh, Matt, are you looking forward to the Hulu Hellraiser reboot?
I'm interested. I think... Hellraiser is something that...
Just ruin one of my news notes. Thanks, Long.
I think Hellraiser is just something.
Wait! I've got it in the news later. Man, do you not listen to what I just said?
We'll talk about it later.
Damn it! Yeah, long trying to pull a Frank there, jumping the gun.
Well, not a whole lot of news. So what?
But there's not a whole lot of news.
That's Ace Ventura said. Let's do all the things that you want to do. We'll wait for
later. No, I have it in the news. And it's like, if you talk about it now, then it takes, there's only like four news.
The whole show hinges on this. Oh. You're going to ruin the show.
You know what? Fuck y'all. Okay. Here's what I watched. Here's what I watched this week, bitches. Okay. So, I watched, Trainwreck, the Woodstock 99 documentary on Netflix. And, you know, it's actually a pretty good documentary, except it probably could have been two episodes instead of three. It's the third episode goes on and on and on and on and on about how there were fires and trash and the place was destroyed and how the Woodstock promoters didn't want to take any responsibility for what happened. And literally the third episode goes on and on about that for about 30 minutes. I'm like, what was the point in this? You could have just done all this in two episodes. But it's interesting to look back on that time. Matt, you were a little young, but you know, the late 90s was, you know, full of a lot of angst and a lot of rage and a lot of, you know, people didn't know what the millennium was going to hold. And there was a lot of I don't even know if I'd call it paranoia, but an anxiety to what the new century was going to bring. And so they had this festival Woodstock 99. They had it in 94, but the 94 show, or in the Rain and the Mud, went off okay without any problems, except it wasn't real profitable. So they decided to do a 30th anniversary show in 99 with even bigger and hundreds of bands, the biggest bands in the world at the time. And it's funny, the documentary tries to point all the blame on Limp Bizkit's set that Saturday afternoon, and they don't even mention that Rage Against Machine and Metallica played after Limp Bizkit and kept the crowd going, and the high priced food and the high priced water and the facilities that were, you know, porta potties overflowing everywhere. Just a lot of drugs just led to ultimately destruction and rage and people letting all that out. And it doesn't make it right. I mean, there were a lot of women that were sexually assaulted at the show, and there were a lot of reports of that and a lot of police reports made after the show. And, but it's just an interesting look at that time. I mean, if there's a way to sum up the late 90s, it would be Woodstock 99. I mean, it summed up a lot of how young people were feeling at the time, but through music and through other outlets. And, but it's interesting watching. Each episode is only like 45 minutes. So it goes by pretty quick. So, you know, if you're interested in taking a look at Woodstock 99, you know, give it a watch. I took the kids today to see Dragon Ball Super Superhero. And, you know, I'm not a big, I don't even know if I'd say I'm a Dragon Ball fan. I'm familiar with it through my kids and through Matt and Frank and things they tell me. Like I'm familiar with some of the characters and some of what the ideas of what it is. Like I still get confused on some things. Like I'm not sure what the Dragon Balls are exactly. And in this movie, it's kind of like, I guess they use them to make a wish. I don't know. Some of that, I still don't quite get all the mythos, you know, trying to keep up with it all. But that said, I have seen the previous three theatrical films that have been out until this one. And, this is probably the best one. This was actually really good. It's animated a little bit differently, but I actually really liked the new animation style because I felt it was a little refreshing. I thought it looked really cool. It's almost like it's not quite the same animation style as Spider-Verse, but it has a look to it where it feels like a comic book that's come to life. And I thought that was a really cool way to do the animation. And it just felt kind of gave it, like I said, a refreshing feel to Dragon Ball, kind of new and exciting instead of the same animation style they've basically been using for about, you know, 20 years, you know? So it's kind of sometimes products have been around a long time. It needs to be refreshed and renewed. And I think they did a good job with the animation and it told a good story. And it did a good job of having cameos from a lot of the other characters that weren't central to this story, but they're in there. So it keeps the kids happy. And it had some good fights in it. And overall exciting story. I'm trying to stay spoiler free because I know Matt wants to see it. And if I had one beef with Dragon Ball, and this isn't really a spoiler, it's like, because I've seen the movies, it's like every movie kind of ends with basically a character getting some sort of new power and then an ultimate bad guy at the end. So the stories do kind of get rehashed every time. And that's probably my one beef with it. It's like when the show's been going on for, you know, 25, 30 years since Dragon Ball has been around, it's like you tend to get a lot of rehash. But I'm trying to think of the creator's name. Akira
Toriyama.
I can't say his last name. Yeah. All the credit in the world to him, though, because he's also very good at just selling this to the fans and to the kids and making it very exciting. And it's a hats off to him to keep this thing going for 30 years, even if he rehashes some storylines. He's obviously doing something right. And it's cool that my kids are into it. You know, I mean, everybody's got their fandom and it's fun. I enjoyed taking them to see it. The boys were super excited. They loved it and they had a good time. So it was worth it. Good film. And I had some Cinemark movie tickets. So it only cost me like $15 to take them because I had some free tickets and I took them to see it on the XD screen. So they were happy. And so that was fun to watch. And man, God dang it. I know I watched something else this week and I'm just, it's off tip. I didn't get back into Sandman yet. I've been wanting to. I just haven't had a chance.
The feature film.
Oh, I did watch the feature film this week. That I did watch. But I feel like there was something else I watched sitting down this week, but I just can't
remember. Baseball? Off the top of my head right
now. Heat.
Huh?
Baseball?
I always watch the Astros every week.
Alien Resurrection.
I did not watch. This is just personal decision. I chose not to watch the League of Her Own Prime series once I found out how woke it was. And nothing against that. I'm fine with, you know, I have no problem if people are part of that culture, you know, but I found out that Amazon Prime like really went out of their way to make it that way, which completely changes the story of who those women were during the wartime and the reason they played baseball. And once I found that out, I'm just not going to watch it. I'm like, sorry. I mean, why can't you just have extended the story from the movie and told the story of these women that played baseball in that time? You know, why did they have to change it for modern purposes? I guess that's, I don't know how else to say that. I don't want to offend anybody, you know. But is that fair to say? It's like, why? Why does everything have to be that way, you know? And because I was thinking about giving the show a shot, then I found that out, and I'm like, no, not going to watch it. So,
you know. Yeah, we don't have to put sexuality into everything.
Yeah,
and it's what's okay wrong
with just telling a good story.
To say, hey, you know, I want it more baseball, you know, oriented and stepping up to play, you know, America's pastime and the love of the game, you know, a baseball movie, I feel, and maybe this is how you feel, should be more about that and how it ties into, you know, traditions, because that's what baseball really is at its roots. It's a tradition. It's not it can be other things, you know, but that's usually what
it doesn't need to be. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I did sit down. This is kind of funny. Kind of like Matt watched part of, I sat down. I was going to watch Wrath of Man, the Guy Ritchie's film with Jason Statham, because it's on Amazon Prime. And I was like, I'd been wanting to see it because I heard good things about it. And like 3 minutes in, I'm like, my eyes were just closing. I'm like, okay, so I haven't watched it yet. And so it's in my Amazon Prime queue, but I was like, can you make it 3 or 4 minutes in? I was falling asleep. And I was just thinking about that because it leads into our feature film because Jason Statham has it. Wrath of Man. No, it's called Wrath of Man. It's from Guy Ritchie and it's got Jason Statham in it. And it kind of came out during the pandemic, but it was well reviewed. They said it was one of the better Jason Statham films that have been out over the last few years, which makes sense because Guy Ritchie generally makes pretty entertaining films. I wanted to watch it and I was just too tired. So I'm going to try to still watch it at some point, but it's a good lead in today's feature film because Jason Statham has a small cameo at the beginning of this film, which I completely forgot about. So I watched it this week and it's funny, Matt, you had texted that you rented it on your Prime account, which I use. And so I did watch it on your Prime account, and I had bought it that same day. I went into Half Price Books and found a copy for like $2 on DVD. So I bought a DVD copy. But it's It's okay. No big deal. It's a lot easier to watch it on the stream than popping in the disc and all that stuff. So, yeah. And, but we are talking Michael Mann's urban crime thriller starring Tom Cruise and Jamie Foxx. Today's feature film is Collateral. And who wants to summarize this one?
I got it. Essentially, you have
summary, Max, not the entire film.
Yeah. You got Max, the taxi driver, and he's just doing his job, man. He's just doing his job. Finds this, you know, beautiful lawyer that he connects with, and they have a really good conversation, and runs into Vincent, played by Tom Cruise, and he's like, hey, man, I'm going to give you a bunch of money. Just take me to these places. Turns out he's a killer, and he's pretty good at it. And you've got cops that are on their tail, picking up the bodies, wrapping them up. Mark Ruffalo, and
it looks like Benjamin Bratt.
He does look like Benjamin Bratt.
I thought he was Benjamin Bratt at first because his hair slicked back, you know. And
yeah, he's a lot younger too.
It was supposed to be Val Kilmer, but you know, they got Ruffalo, and I think Ruffalo does a solid job. He's not really in the film a ton, really. It's more based between Tom Cruise and Max, and you know, turns out that Vincent, at the end of his list, he's got to kill that lawyer that, you know, Jamie Foxx's character had a emotional connection with, and that ain't going to happen because, you know, that's, you know, that, you know, he pulled her number and everything. I mean, she can't just be gone. You know, something's got to happen before she leaves this world, if you know what I mean. So he goes, he protects her, and, you know, just goes out in the sunset with her, basically. Well, in the nightshade, I guess, moonlight. Basically. That's the probably most concise I can get it.
Yeah. I mean, I saw this in theaters. I've rewatched it a few times since I saw it in theaters. Cause I think for Michael Mann films, this is, fairly accessible film because it only runs about an hour and 55 minutes or so. So it's not long and quite as epic as some of his films. And it's a simple story, but it's told well, and it's shot extremely well. This might be one of Mann's best shot films. I really like how he makes you feel like you're part of the city as Max and Vincent are going through it. It's actually really well acted. And it's so well acted, in fact, that Michael Mann was a little shocked, despite their Oscar campaign, that neither Cruise or Fox got nominated for this because they felt like they both were going to be nominated because the critics loved them in the roles. I mean, Cruise is great in this movie. And so is Jamie Foxx. They're both really good. And I didn't even look. I'm sure it got nominated. I feel like this movie would have had to have been nominated for cinematography or something like that. But it's a dark film, but it's, but it feels like watching this, it flows really well. Like it's the word smooth makes sense for this film. It feels like it's one word. Of those movies. Well paced, reading a good book, and it just tells a story. That's what I like about it. And the story unfolds over one night, and it's well paced and well acted and well shot and just
suspenseful
at times as it like, oh, the jazz bar scene. I mean, it doesn't get any more intense than that, you know? And
unpredictable.
Yeah. Yeah. Unpredictable because you feel like Vincent's going to snap at any moment. The development of Fox's character throughout this film, going from a guy who's, he knows what he wants in life, but yet he's sold himself this lie about what he wants in his life, to at the end of it, the movie, he's a little more confident in himself to the point where he's like willing to take on this guy. He sees past the taxi cab in his life and says like, you know, fuck it. I got to do this. I got to save this woman and save myself. And it's his development throughout the film is quite interesting. One thing it continues Mann's tradition of his really well shot action scenes. I mean, starting with like, you know, as much as I love The Last Mohicans in the early days of Michael Mann, he didn't quite shoot his action scenes like he did with Heat and with this film, and even Miami Vice. Miami Vice is not a great film, but the action sequences in it are shot really well. And I like how Mann has this realism to his action films, or to his action scenes, I should say. He doesn't use a lot of music in them. He lets the bullets and the sounds play out. And they're shot at wide angles, so you can see what's going on. And Tom Cruise's tactical draws and the way he handled weapons were so good that the military has used them in training videos to teach other actors in other movies. This is what it should look like when you're drawing a weapon, you know? And I think that's pretty cool. So some of my initial thoughts on Collateral there.
Yeah.
I like it. How the film is lit, and which is natural lighting. And I think it's Michael Mann's. I think it's suspenseful because you just don't know how Tom Cruise is going to react, especially the scene where he went and visited the mother, Fox's mother. You know, so it's like, okay, why are we here? You know, so what's he up to? So anyhow, go ahead, Matt. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No. I to your point, Long. I like how he's a villain, but then he says shit that you're like, is this a good guy or not? You know, is he stops and he grabs flowers for his mom, and he's like, she's not going to like those. You know, she's not going to appreciate those. And he's like, she carried you in her womb for 9 months.
I don't think he's a good guy, but he's one of those hitmen that have some morals.
Yeah.
Or a sense of morality that they think they have, but it's false. You know,
like a twisted sense of morality, which they try to touch base on. You know, there is a bit of drama here where they talk about his, you know, I guess he's his dad and how he was abusive and his mom died. It was most likely the dad blamed, you know, Cruise's character for the mom's death and just never approved of anything he did and just had a bad upbringing. But I like how Fox is like learning from like everything. He's like, man, sometimes you got to play some jazz, you know? And he's like, when was this a negotiation? And he's like repeating stuff that Vincent said, and so it's cool how, he comes from like this cab driver and he sticks up, you know, and takes out a hitman. Very good film. I enjoyed it. I remember when it came out, I think I caught it on DVD, but I remember so many people talking about it, you know, like critics, just like how well it looked, how well it was acted, that Tom Cruise was great. And he is, I think, who did they want at first? It was going to be Russell Crowe, but then they couldn't, you know, Russell, kept going back.
Well, the script, Michael Mann had the script sitting in development hell for several years, and it didn't start getting any movement on it till Russell Crowe got involved and the studios got really interested. Cause you could think in 2004, Russell Crowe was super hot. And then after that, the project took too long to get going. So Crowe had to, back off. And that's when Cruise came on board.
Yep. And I didn't realize this is his first time using live rounds when training for the movie. He trained with the LAPD for like three weeks. Handling firearms with live rounds. Pretty cool, man.
Yeah. And, because Mann had wanted to work with Cruise a couple of times before, and just was never able to get him in a film, and it worked out for this one. It's funny, he's also dressed exactly like Robert De Niro's character was in Heat. And the whole idea that people, like, why did Cruise dye his hair partially gray for this? And the whole idea was they wanted him to, with the plain suit and the plain gray hair, you want to look like a guy that could go in and out of places without being recognized, just wanted him to look plain. So they even had Tom Cruise go along with a FedEx guy all over LA for about a week or two, going out of buildings real quick and see how many times he got recognized. And apparently he got recognized very little as he was working with this FedEx guy, trying to just look like a plain guy, everyday guy, which I thought was interesting. It is also interesting to see Cruise play a villain. This is a guy that throughout his career, he's had a massively successful film this year, the number one movie in the world with a Top Gun Maverick, and a guy who mostly known playing good guys throughout his career, whether it's Maverick or Ethan Hunt or any of the other characters. So to see Cruz take a villain role was an interesting choice, but he's pretty good in the movie, you know, one of his better acting jobs.
Yeah. Better than that villain he played in Risky Business when he was fucking with that pimp's business, you know, businessman.
I don't think he was a villain in that movie.
Yeah, man. He was laying into Rebecca De Mornay. She's supposed to be out there pulling clients, but she can't because she's banging Tom Cruise on the damn subway. The fuck?
Okay, Matt. Moving on.
I'm not sure what that has to do with being a villain, but okay, Matt.
Yeah.
You know, well, I think it just goes to show that I know people make Tom Cruise jokes about him running in films or the whole Katie Holmes things, but the guy, I think this is a movie that could show that he really does put everything into his work. That's why he's one of the last great movie stars. Cause whether he's playing a bad guy or doing his own stunts, I mean, Cruise leaves it all on screen. I was thinking about this when I was watching Collateral the other day. I mean, let's be honest. Have you ever seen a Tom Cruise movie where he feels like he mailed it in? I mean, never. You know, the guy goes out and makes films and puts it all on screen every time. And the guy who was supposed to play this role, Russell Crowe, you've probably seen a couple of Russell Crowe movies where he just kind of mailed it in. You know, let's just be honest. But Cruise is never that way. You know, he's out there 100% making movies because he loves to do it. And to see him play a villain, I think, is pretty cool. Why are you frozen on my screen, Matt?
Because your internet connection sucks.
It's fine tonight. Well, you're frozen in a really dumb pose. I just took a picture of it.
Yeah.
But, I think, like, if this movie was flip-flopped and Cruise was the taxi driver and Jamie Foxx was the bad guy, I don't know if it would work as well because of our familiarity with these guys on screen. I think it's really cool to see a guy we're familiar with be a bad guy, and then to have Jamie Foxx, who at the time was still a pretty young actor coming up in the world, and I don't think he had I'd have to look what his biggest thing was at this point, but to see him play the guy who develops into a strong-willed person by the end of the movie, and if you flip those roles, I don't think it works as well.
I think he could do it, just but not as well. I liked him in Horrible Bosses when he was Motherfucker Jones. You ever seen that movie?
Who remembers Motherfucking?
Oh my god!
Yeah,
he's never they think him. He's a hitman, but he's lying. He's not really a hitman. He's like, well, I'm going to consult you on how to be a hitman. And then he ends up
missing anything along. Trust me.
Yeah, it's got Jennifer Aniston in it, and it's like dressing in lingerie, and her butt's all hanging out of her underwear, and she's this dentist, and she's like, you know, really inappropriate with the dude from Always Sunny in Philadelphia. He was in Charlie Day. Yep, and she's trying to screw him, but he won't do it because he's not a
sin. Fox had a good year. He did Ray the same year in 2004.
Really?
But before his biggest roles had been he was in Ali, and which was Michael Mann, and he was in Any Given Sunday. But yeah, so Collateral and Ray, this was Fox's big summer then. A couple of his big early movie roles. So
two touchdowns back to back.
Yeah. He was very good in Ray. So
yeah.
I think probably Ray was some movie. Yeah, really got him recognized for his acting jobs. So, but yeah, man, I don't know what much else to say about Collateral, though. I think it's a solid movie that holds up well. It's just one we had kind of had on the radar to do. We talked about doing it a few times. It brought up in conversations, and I actually enjoyed rewatching it this week. A lot of times I'll watch movies over a couple of nights just because I'm working, I'm tired. But I actually sat down and watched this almost in one sitting. I think I had about 15 minutes left to go. I woke up one morning this week and the kids were still sleeping. And one of them woke up with about 15, 20 minutes to go. So I finished that night. I almost made it through in one sitting. Just, the movie's not overly violent for a rated R film, but still, you know, I didn't want the shootout. The shootout in the club is pretty intense. We didn't even talk about that. That's a really cool scene. The little shootout in the club.
Yeah.
Well shot. Well, just sound. The sound design of that scene is really well done too. And
definitely gives the movie its identity. That one scene is the most famous scene out of the whole movie.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was cool. And which maybe I'm misspeaking when I read this, but I think man had wanted to do a club scene in Heat and there was no place for it. So it was an idea he had for a while and going back almost a decade, and he ended up putting the club scene in this movie. So it was something that he had idea for a while. So I thought that was kind of cool. And so we had Electro and the Hulk in this movie also. Who would have known that they were going to be Marvel superheroes a few years later, or villains in Electro's case. So.
Nice.
But yes, Mark Ruffalo. And Peter Berg is in this movie too, as his partner. So.
Oh yeah, and Peter Berg. Yeah,
Peter Berg, actor / director. He made the classic movie Battleship. That's a joke. It's not a classic movie. The movie was terrible. But Peter Berg has made some good movies. Friday Night Lights is very good. He directed Jamie Foxx in The Kingdom. Have you ever seen that? The Middle Eastern
Kingdom.
The terrorism movie. Kingdom's actually pretty good.
Movie? Yeah.
Yeah. And he shot, and that was shot by Peter Berg. So he actually went on to direct Jamie Foxx too. It's all connected. Remember the old game, 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon, where you could connect movies to Kevin Bacon? It's like they're all connected to Hollywood somehow. But I think I give this movie pretty solid A-. You know, I don't.
Yeah.
Almost even an A. I think it's a good movie.
I give it an A.
A.
Yeah. And, yeah. It's a good watch. Well, let's do a little. No sub feature this week, as we've not really come up with a new sub feature yet since we retired Duel of the Nerds. We've kind of sometimes have birthday roast to do, like was pretty funny a couple weeks ago, or pop culture of the month. I going back to the birthday roast, I'm almost surprised none of y'all went after my balls again. I was a little shocked by that and the whole spider bite thing that time. I was sitting there waiting for it, and I was like, man, they left my balls alone. Thank you guys for that. And the only reason I was thinking about that is because when I was talking to our part-time co-host Frank the other day, he mentioned that. He goes, yeah, I'm surprised they didn't mess with you about getting your spider bite. And Frank's like, man, I would have unleashed on your ass. I'm like, I'm glad you weren't on the show then. So just some thoughts. And we're going to have to do Matt here in a couple weeks. It's going to be Matt's turn to get a little roasted. Maybe longer I have to start brainstorming on that one. So, all right, let's do some news. It's not a whole lot to go on, as it's been kind of a slow week, it seems. But Lord of the Rings, the Rings of Power, is just a couple weeks away, and Amazon came out and they announced that they moved it up one night. We're going to get episode 1 on Thursday, September 1st, and episode 2 is going to be that Friday. So we're going to get the first two episodes back-to-back nights with the premiere of that, as people this seems to be really getting a lot of momentum. It's kind of funny. HBO's new Game of Thrones prequel comes out this Sunday, and it almost feels like no one's talking about it because everyone is really looking forward to the Lord of the Rings. It seems like this show is I just feel from what I see on the internet and stuff, I haven't seen a TV show get this much hype in a long time. It just feels like people are really excited about the Lord of the Rings, as they should be. It's got a huge fan base. So I'm excited. I can't wait to watch it.
So. Yeah, the amount of hate that the show will get if they screw it up is going to be something.
just from the small minority of hardcore Tolkiens, you know. But it's like I saw a good meme the other day. Even if you don't like it, you still have the original movies to enjoy, you know. So I think that's fair. Ezra Miller, the saga continues, but this week some positive turn. He came out and apologized and is seeking help, and it seems that Warner Brothers is helping him with this and is on board with it. And so we'll see. We said, like we said last week on the show, we wish all the best for him, that he gets his shit together and that The Flash comes out next summer is very successful. So good for him. So hopefully he gets the help that he needs. And he has recognized that what is going
still
on.
Still a felon.
Yeah, he still has a felony on him. But, you know, hopefully he's can correct his ways. And next, man, you long tried to steal my thunder earlier in the show. But Hulu, after the success of Prey and launching a movie of that franchise, I guess it kind of came out officially. We all knew they were making a Hellraiser reboot, but we didn't know. I wasn't aware that it was going to land at Hulu, and apparently Hulu pretty much confirmed that this week, that they're moving forward with it, and it is going to be rated R. And my first thought on that was like, why would it not be rated R? How are you going to make a PG-13 Hellraiser movie? Right? And I don't know if this is still – is it still going to be the female Hellraiser? Is that still what they're leading towards?
Yeah.
You know, because I remember Mandy they Clayton had test shots.
Pinhead.
Okay, because I remember they had test shots of her in the costume and all that, and they released some images and things like that. So it is still going to be the female Hellraiser. But I don't think this is due out till next year, right, if I remember correctly. So
it says 2022 release.
Oh, so maybe it'll be out by Halloween this year. Who knows?
Maybe so.
So
I still think the first Hellraiser movie is the best.
I agree.
Pretty fucked up.
I've only seen the first two, and I don't plan on watching any more. So, I'm good. I'm done with Hellraiser. You know, I like to not pee-pee myself when watching a movie. So, and the last bit of news I have is Matt. You, I know you rented it the other day. You dang fool, renting $20 movies on Fandango at home or whatever. Nah, I don't care. I've done it too. But Jurassic World Dominion, if you didn't see it in theaters, just wait a couple weeks. If you have Peacock, it's going to be available to watch on there. So I am going to wait a couple weeks and watch it on Peacock, unlike Matt did. I was going to give you a hard time, Matt. So, yeah. It was a little surprising. I thought, I thought it would go to HBO Max since all the other movies are on HBO Max, but who knows how these streaming deals work, you know? It's hard to say.
Yeah.
I don't know. Who knows? So I know that's where you watch the Black Phone because I saw it. It was on Peacock.
Yep. And,
I was going to watch. I want to watch. I know it didn't get good reviews, but I'm a sucker for Michael Bay's movies, so I'll probably watch Ambulance since it's on Peacock. You know.
I heard good stuff about it.
Yeah, I've heard it's okay. I heard if you go into it just expecting what you expect, Michael Bay blowing shit up in a heist movie, that's what you're going to get out of it. Don't, you know, and that's how I view most Michael Bay films. You don't go into them expecting Oscars, you know, just expect a dumb, goofy action movie most of the time. And so I'll probably give it a watch because I saw it was on there. So, but that's all the news I had. I didn't have any other news. It was not a good news week, but that's okay. Well, let's preview next week's movie before we get out of here. You know, we've covered the first two movies in this franchise, and it's actually the 30th anniversary of this movie this year, back in June. So we were like, oh, let's not get it past us. Well, Long was like, oh, I don't want to do that movie. We can get let it pass us. But this movie kind of has its fans. I mean, there are some fans. People have come around. This one is really similar to the Star Wars prequels that people have kind of come around to more over the years. They didn't like it at first because Cameron's Aliens was so good that people saw Alien 3 and are like, well, that's a disappointment after watching Aliens. And I agree, it is. But people have, like I said, come around more to this movie and accept a little bit more. And that is Alien 3, directed by David Fincher.
Here, in a world where the sun burns cold, and the wind blows colder, a visitor has come, but not by herself.
It started.
Come on!
The suspense is back.
And we have no weapons of any kind?
The fear is back. And most of all, the bitch is back.
No.
Alien 3.
So it is 30 years old, and next week on the show, we'll discuss the third Alien movie in the franchise. And it does feel like a movie that if you're showing someone the Alien films, you almost shouldn't show them Alien 3 right after Aliens, because it's going to be disappointing. There's just no other way to say it. But if you show them Alien 3 a few months later, it might appreciate it a little bit more. And that's kind of how I've always felt about this movie too. I've appreciated a little bit more over the years than I did right after I saw it. Cause it was pretty difficult to follow up Aliens. And I'm going to have to look, we'll have to go back and we'll have to do a little research this week as we get ready to talk this movie. And I often wonder why 20th Century Fox kind of went backwards and did a smaller scale film after such a massively successful, huge film. You know, there's got to be a reason behind it. We will have
to find out. They don't know what they're doing.
Is that what it is? They know what they're doing. Yeah. And Cameron, they begged Cameron to come back, but he was doing Terminator 2, and he was like, no, don't want to. So I do know that at least. So we'll see. But that's next week on the show, Alien 3, and they are streaming on Amazon Prime. I mean, I own the box set, so I've got them on Blu-ray. But if you want to watch along with us, I know the Alien films are on Amazon Prime right now. They might even be on HBO Max, because they were for a while. So that's on next week's show. But the RebelRadioPodcast.com, where you can find all your Rebel Radio needs. And thanks, as always, for listening. We do appreciate it. This has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
Long.
Until next week, remember, as always, just go there and do it.